Scoot in.
How about if we scoot in?
Yeah. I did not know this was Siddhartha because I've been doing inspired writing for a while, and it came through as different writing than the other writing that I usually get a lot of light language. But this time it came through as a different writing, and it's been coming through for a couple months now. And I didn't know who it was until yesterday, when they finally identified themselves.
Wow.
And they gave me a lot of personal information, but this morning there was two pieces that came through that were, I think, important for the group. One was that your stone that you got, you put that word in front of awakens the Buddha within. So like mine was strength. So I put strength awakens the Buddha within. So that's how you're supposed to use the stone. That was just a really, yeah, I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
And then, so what they said that I thought was good for the group today, of course I took it.
We're doing maintenance
tonight.
Might call the mosquitoes in. We might not.
No.
Yeah.
We're going to put a protective bubble around this so the mosquitoes don't get in.
Okay. So what he said was, if one seeks the Buddha, especially the Buddha within, he must have the strength to make the decision that is for the highest good of all, not just oneself, but for Gaia, for the people, for the self. Again, the Buddha within lies in the space of all that is, not all that is for thyself. Do not judge, do not judge others, for you can only awaken the Buddha within yourself. And in doing so, you begin to awaken the Buddha within others.
That's great.
So take a deep breath. Take a deep bus. Ah, so it is a good day to you, huh? Oh, very good to see your energy, your light, your brightness, your divine presence, eh? As you see, the Buddha has been awakened within you. The Kuan Yin, as we started the morning, is also bringing that balance between the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And that is why it was important that, even though it wasn't on the official tour, that the tour got rearranged by the guidance of the divine Mr. Top and his polar. Huh? For you see, everything is shifting. So as soon as you believe that you're counting on something, know that it is no longer. That is why it is important to be mindful of what is happening in the presence. That is why we started with the divine feminine of Kuan Yin. Now, we don't know how much you know about the divine feminine Kuan Yin. She is the goddess, the deity, as the Chinese call her, of compassion, love, mercy, and children. You see, and in her energy, in the beginning, she was a princess, much like Siddhartha was. And in that beginning, she refused to marry a certain person. So her father sent her into almost slavery. And she carried such a light that all of the other people that were around her were affected, much like you. So when you are doing something or having something or experiencing something that may not be so fun, think of Kuan Yin. And think of how she provided the light even in the darkest of times. She holds water in a vase many times. That is the nectar of life. We have told you many times to pay attention to the water. That is the weakest place on the planet right now. And without water, where are you? Huh? So understand that with that energy of the Divine Feminine, to carry the water and have it flow through you, have it flow into your home, out of your home, in appropriate places, not just everywhere, but in that energy. So in this next year, it might be appropriate for you to put a water energy or a water element in your home, because this is a critical year, this next year, in the water of this planet, to pay attention to that. So you can each put that water feature, even if it is just a fish tank that is having a pump bubbling there, as long as it is clean, yes? And in that energy and in that vibration, hold that frequency, that it is helping to purify the water of the planet. She is often seen in, oh, and you are the light, huh? And she is also seen many times with beads around her neck. Some have called it a rosary, which has Catholic influence. However, each bead represents a part of humanity that she blesses as she wears it. And she is a part of the energy that teaches people to honor their suffering and move beyond it. To know that suffering is a part of life. And we call it contrast. Yes? But if you push against it and never accept it into your awareness, then you will not have balance in your life. You can accept the contrast or the suffering and think, what am I learning from this? And therefore you evolve. You see? Life is a series of evolutionary choices. And that is what you learn today. You make the choice as to whether to sit on the ground or sit in a chair. You make the choice as to whether to go and sit in the big movement of the Buddha as everyone's going and taking their picture and praying and getting in the right position and taking all that tourist energy and finding the stillness between those lines. For that is what the Buddha teaches, is that the stillness is everywhere. Yes? But you get the opportunity to find that stillness as it is moving forward. And it matters not if you are in a whirlwind of energy, as many of you live in that whirlwind of energy. Where is the stillness there? And if you can take a breath and move into that still centered place. Do so now. With that vibration of the stillness, that is where the Buddha speaks to you. To know that love awakens the Buddha within. Strength awakens the Buddha within. Hope awakens the Buddha within. You rock the Buddha within. Yes. And as that energy comes through, acknowledge that presence. Now the Divine Kuan Yin also rides upon what one would call a dragon or a snake. Both are similar and relatives of each other. The snake is the guardian for the gentle nature of Kuan Yin. But she still wields that snake. So even though she may be the gentle teacher of compassion and love, she is strong in her conviction to help other people. So how strong is your conviction, huh? How strong is your centered nature to help those energies that are within you? Is it that strength that always finds the opposite of what you truly want? Is it that possibility that if you think of what you are choosing instead, then it has a chance to manifest, huh? You see, in that focus of moving forward with compassion and love and mercy, she is also the protector of the children. That is why sometimes she is seen with children. The snake represents spirituality, as does the dragon. The snake represents total transformation, as does the dragon. The snake represents higher messages coming through you, as does the dragon. The snake represents resurrection, but the dragon does not. You see, the snake rebirths himself every year when he sheds his skin. Yes? The dragon does not shed his skin. So that is the difference. Now, if you were going to look for a protector, we might want to look for a dragon instead of a snake. However, both can be very powerful. And both are relatives of each other. So in that energy, know that even the protector is a spiritual teacher. What other elements does the snake represent? Humbleness, yes? Because they crawl on the ground, maybe. It does not represent ego, however. Because the ego would get in the way of the teachings of the Kuan Yin. You see what we say? Now when you go to the Buddha supports that energy, even though they lived 1,200 years apart. They are both teachers of the same essence. And there are many people who believe that they and Yeshua, Master Jesus, Yeshua, and the Buddha were all together at one point in time. We know that they were. You can ask Yeshua that yourself. For you see, they all teach the same. But even today, you saw a discrepancy in their message. We don't know if you are aware that Mr. Top pointed to, someone asked about the animals down below carving, and Mr. Top said, well, that is hell. That is where they did not do right, so they are punished into eternity. That is what the Christians taught too, eh? So if you make a mistake, you are just punished unless you go into the world and fall down upon your knees and beg forgiveness from your God. God does not punish you. You punish you, but God does not. And that is where the discrepancy lies, and the Buddha asked us to bring I ask that you are mindful of who you are. I ask that you are mindful and realize that it is your karma that punishes you, not hell. Because love heals all. I ask that you live in your own truth and to know beyond doubt that nirvana, paradise, is right here. If you acknowledge and look at it. If you do not, you will get what you acknowledge and look at. That is why we ask you the teachings of the Eightfold Path, which are correct. However, our true teachings were not right understanding, right intention, because that represents a duality. If there is a right, there must be a wrong or a left. Yes? What I said was conscious understanding to bring forth that energy, to have compassion and understanding and asking for awareness of your neighbor and friend and your enemy, to have conscious intention. That intention is everything. To have conscious speech, that know that your words carry such value and weight that they can be a weapon or they can be wisdom. To have conscious action. Because you can talk all you want. You can communicate all you want. But if you do not take action, what happens? Nothing. To have conscious knowledge, conscious wisdom. To know what you are doing and are communicating. To have conscious mindfulness, to be present with every single moment. So when your hip is talking to you, as Adaranda says, when you sit down on the floor that you're not used to sitting on, or crawl up, in, as our divine link Marilyn says, in unbeautiful ways, to be mindful that that is getting your attention as well. And to take each move with the slowness of a mindfulness and an appreciation of the movement of your hand or your leg as it taps. And to be mindful of that. And then I ask you for right effort, concentration, conscious effort, and conscious concentration, conscious focus. Because you see, when you go into the stillness, that concentration allows your center to become one with your source. It allows your wisdom to become one within you. It allows your compassion, your spiritual transformation, to become one within you, so you don't have to have the snake or the dragon to protect you. That is the new frequency. And as that new frequency comes in, know that even these teachings are changing. I will bring you more through this week. Through your questioning of what you are learning. We each have just begun this journey. some of you, as I am with you each day, thought, well, I wish that this wasn't such a touristy place. Those tourists pay the bills. That is where I ask you to find that stillness, find that mindfulness in the hubbub of the speakers and the music and the teachers and all of the camera clicking, to be that lotus blossom in your heart. What would it feel like to sit in the middle of a river or pond or lake or whatever body of water the lotus may grow upon, and to simply blossom with the stillness of you? In 2001, there was a major shift of this planet. It demanded an awakening. It happened on 9/11. Some might call it September the 11th. It has never been that since. You understand what I say? And it was so traumatic for the planet, not just for the United States of America. But do you know what else happened that year? In one of the most ancient statues of me, which is always a little unusual for me to look upon, lotus flowers that had not been seen on the planet since I walked in physical form blossomed from that statue. That is what you are doing now. You are the blossom that has not been seen before. You are the blossom that is shifting the vibrational frequency of all you touch. You are that blossom. And for that, I am grateful. For you are doing your job. So when you run into those tourists that seem to be a bit pushy, bless them with your smile. And say, thank you, I'll step aside. And breathe into the stillness. And then they will want what you've got. And that is the teachings of consciousness. That is our first step today. Your first step. And for that I am grateful. As Adaranda says, it must be true. The birds are singing. You see, I'm not as serious as you might think I am. I am in love with you. I am in love with the fact that you decided to return to this planet at this time of total transformation and are each playing your part. Namaste.